In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's very interesting that St. Paul tells us that those who are strong should bear with those who are weak in faith. And we should respect the struggle that comes of the scruples that they have, that as they are trying to deal with how do we fast, what is the right moral and spiritual decision in this case and that case, and they peruse the scriptures and try to find an answer, and they question themselves and they use their minds and their understanding in the best way that they can, loving God, to try to figure out what the right thing is to do in each case. There is another way of proceeding. It doesn't have to be that way for us. There was a game that I used a couple, three parishes ago up in New York called Scruples. It's still around. You can still get it. And it was on the occasion of my using that game in conjunction with a youth event. The game of Scruples, you're all given a problem. There are cards. And you take the dilemma, the spiritual dilemma that you're handed, and you argue for one resolution of the dilemma as opposed to another. I even went to the extent of making, and this was the occasion that I've mentioned on Wednesday night several times, that physical example of how you find where the center is. The center is always that points directly toward God through Christ. So you've always got true vertical available if you question yourself and try to find how far off center you are. And you'll recognize that as my explanation of canon law. The two pieces of wood that make a triangle at the peak and then a yardstick across the bottom, and put the plumb bob with a sinker at the bottom and illustrate it. You always have true vertical. And if you're tilted a little to the right, you can measure how far you are from center and try to move in that direction, and vice versa. And I encourage people to apply that model to this game of scruples. And while it was a social event, it went as well as you can expect it to go. I think I played the Moody Blues, A Question of Balance, in the background. We were doing it, you know, 30 in, off by probably 15 years. But anyway, I was very interested. Recently, I went and I checked out, oh, I wonder if that's still available. So I looked, and it was. It's still there. The person commented. It was very insightful what he said. You can win by misrepresenting your position and sometimes outright lying in order to gain the advantage in this game of scruples. And I thought, gee, that isn't that fascinating. The problem is that if we are trying to use our worldly minds to resolve dilemmas, we are reasoning from things that we know about the world, and we don't really know where that vertical is, that true vertical. That's the difficulty. Without that, we end up kind of pretending. I have heard this saying, fake it until you can make it. It won't work. St. Paul says, be patient with those who are trying to figure out what to do on the basis of this game of scruples, trying to figure out what the rule ought to be. What would Jesus do? You know, all very pious, but there is another way. How about those that St. Paul calls strong? How can we be strong? All of us are always going to simply be ourselves. Any strength that anyone has in the history of the church is God's own strength. It is the strength of Jesus Christ in them. That's why they're strong. The saints can come to a situation and do what needs to be done. They don't play this game of scruples and fret in their mind this way and that way. How about this? How about that? Let's argue the pros and cons of a moral dilemma and almost misrepresent things. That's not what saints do. They know what to do and they do it. How do they do that? They are the ones that we are calling strong. The ones who are able to act and live in that kind of way. How does that happen? In the Gospel according to St. Matthew this morning, we had the healing of the two blind men that came to Jesus. I was thinking about this morning and understanding it in a typical kind of Orthodox way, and when I heard it read again, I said, oh, that's what the Protestants think, that this is some kind of healing in a way that doesn't involve the fact that Jesus, the Christ, is being recognized by this person as the Messiah. You could interpret that way. You could say, Jesus says, do you believe that I could do this? And I said, yes, I believe, you know. And you know, so you could say, well, if I believe stronger, you know, I really believe strongly, and the emphasis is on the belief of the person. Do you believe I can do this? What is it? What is he saying when he's asking this question? He's asking him, do you believe I am the one who was sent by God? Do you believe I am the one anointed by God? Do you believe that I am the Messiah? This is how Orthodox understand and interpret these passages. And the man says, yes. He acknowledges him as who he is. The Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus heals him with special words. Let it be to you. Let it be to you. That's how he says, your sight is healed. They are the same words that God used at the beginning when he said, let there be light. Let there be stars in the firmament. And now he is saying to this man, let it be to you that you have your vision restored. These are the words of creation that are being used by Jesus the Christ, the Messiah who is the Son of God. And we wonder, I have not been able to discover, you know, in many cases we know the names of those that Jesus interacted with in the Gospels. In this case, I've not been able to discover that that is the case, and it makes me wonder, what did he do with those eyes that God himself restored with words so like the creation of the world in the beginning? Did he become a follower of Christ? Did he go and use his eyes to see the world in the way that it ought to be seen? And to avoid seeing those things that we ought to avoid seeing. Well, we know for one thing that when Jesus told him to go and not tell anybody, he went and he told everybody, so that's not a very good sign. But it is important, I think, for us to recognize in our own case that having been baptized into the life of the Son of God, we need not say, heal my eyes, as this blind man said. We already have eyes to see with that are perfect. We already have a mind that is sound. We already have a body that is resurrected. They are the eyes, the mind, and the body of Christ himself, because we have been baptized into his life. We have been baptized into his life. We are able to see with his eyes. We have been healed. Our humanity has been healed. It's up for us to use what we have been given. Those who are strong, those who don't have to play the scruples game, they are able more and more to use their own eyes to see with the eyes of Christ. More and more they are able to understand with the mind of Christ. That is the understanding that we have been given And the only things that stand in the way are turning back from that life, are missing the mark, are living life in some other way. But that way of seeing is available to us. It has been given to us. I heard Father Jacob Myers say with beautiful simplicity once that the whole purpose of the Christian life is to grow in sensitivity. Because we see with eyes and we think with a mind that is of this world and separate from God, we are insensitive to others and to the realities of spiritual life. But if we repent of our self-orientation, if we repent of thinking of ourselves as at the center of our own life and the rest of the world, all those other people out there, they are bit players in my life. And I look out into the world, I have no choice but to see the world through my own eyes. I'm limited in that way. It's not true. Human beings are not created to live in that kind of way, separated from God in that kind of way. We have been baptized into a life where to live in the world does not mean living that kind of life. And spiritual effort amounts to rebelling against and turning away from everything that limits us and shuts us within ourselves, opens us out into a sensitivity toward others and seeing the reality of things with the eyes of Christ. This is something that we are able to do. Too much, when we think of our spiritual life, we become fixated on ourselves. My progress, my development, my shortcomings. I confess my sins. But it's not really about us. It's about living beyond ourselves. We confess our missing of the mark whenever we treat others as though they were less than the human divine beings that God created them to be. We can only see into their hearts with love, we say. It has to be the love of God. And so we have this way of evaluating the world from our separation from God, and we have this fact that we have the ability to be able to see others and see the world around us with the eyes of Christ, restored by Him, by His destruction of everything that stands in our way. So when we ask God for healing of our condition, if we ask Him to heal us of our blindness, let us remember that what we are asking Him to do is to help us to turn away from looking at the world and others with blind eyes fixated on ourselves so that we can't see anything but ourselves. That's the blindness that we need to be healed of. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.